podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening, everyone. Welcome to a special Game Week 35 wildcard episode of the FPL Wire. I'm your host, Zofa, and I'm joined by my co-host, Pruss. How's it going, buddy?
Going okay, man. Back to chip season again. I mean, what a weekend. First, let's start with this. I mean, free hit has been as good as you could have hoped.
I think you got more points from one player than you did from the entire team.
Don't 29. Say me. I was okay.
Now, you were okay, but most like Mateta, I think outscored my entire team in 29, and most people who did play their free hit in 29 was like 16, 18 or something like that, right?
Dude, I mean, that Crystal Palace game in itself is basically Crystal Palace for free hit 34 was what Spurs were. Maybe, I know, not really Spurs. Maybe Reguilon plus Nottingham Forest. You know, Elanger, Gibbs-White and Reguilon. And obviously, they got negative points and blanks versus massive hauls. Massive. I mean, any regrets? I mean, this is only halftime, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, when you on a free hit, there's always going to be some 50-50 regrets. Yeah. Right? Because you would have had some variation of some players who are hauled at certain point during the week. For example, right. I went for like a Havertz over a double defense, which is more of a tactical move, right? Because the template, like you guys, non-free hitters, had the double defense. So you try to play the numbers over there. Right. Diaz versus Jota versus Darwin was a close one. I had Jota in my draft on the Monday, but there were some rumors of a knock on Thursday, which he didn't start. Then we saw none of the predictors.
I think that was the commentator really just screwing it up. I think the commentator was trying to say he was starting, but he got a knock. And instead, he said he got a knock that day. And I think that screwed up a lot of people.
Yeah, because I was formerly on Jota until then, because I was prepared to take one start. I would do that. But then now, so I guess most of the template has gone with Diaz, went to Darwin. And now, I guess Diaz didn't do anything. Now it's a fresh start. Yeah. I think Darwin should start versus Everton. So things, but otherwise, you can't really complain.
Yeah, no, I look, you're flying, man. I mean, what are you 10k now? Or
no,
inside
11k.
10K or?
Just 11K. Just outside.
So, 11K. you hopefully, touch wood, you'll end the week in the top 10k, which is huge going into game week 35.
Yeah, hopefully. And we like, you know, the team generally looks all right for the next few weeks, and it is going to be interesting now because I think a lot of the wildcarder guys are going to be selling perfectly good players.
Yes.
You guys will be selling your Arsenal defenders for the like of who? Manchester United guys, etc.
I mean, we'll talk about it. Not too much, but yes, there is an element of we have to go for it, right? Like a lot of free hit 34s had to go for it. Like you could have said, I'm going to be defensive and manage Haaland. Obviously, Haaland, you know, we'll see if he plays or not. But, it didn't make sense. So, Mateta over Haaland has paid off like 20 points. Palmer, we don't know if he plays tomorrow or not. Hopefully he does. But still, you've gone against those picks and it has worked out. I think Wildcard has to do the same. Like, you have to have a strategy of what you'll do in game week 38, maybe. And we'll talk about the macro side of things. I don't think people need to be that afraid. Like, go different, especially if you're chasing a goal or chasing a rank or a mini league.
But I still think, like, you know, and we'll talk about it, like somebody like Trent, for example. Now, free hitters obviously won't own him. Anybody who's not on a wildcard won't own him because obviously there's no double. But I think somebody like him could be a more effective differential than, let's say, like a Dalot today, for example. I know there's a price difference and things like that. So I don't think, like, you know, it's as simple as you take it, just play the quantity because you have to back the quality. Now, like your Jota might play every game now. Jota could be a pick that could fire you up the ranks. Even a single, they have Villa away that week in 37. Mm. And then they're 38. Again, they have a good fixture. I think Wolves at home who barely have any players.
An amazing fixture. 38 is an amazing fixture. I think what we'll do is when we come to the wild card, let's talk about teams and then we'll say, you know, why are we avoiding certain teams? Because it's complicated. Like even free hit, right? You know that one change makes a lot of other changes.
Exactly.
It's complicated also in wild card where you're thinking of certain players. Of course, Trent would be better than Dalot. But then I'm thinking, I'll actually never play Dalot. Except for that bench boost week. So Dalot is going to be on my bench forever.
I mean,
so,
in Porto, you could look at that example because Spurs have their multiple doubles, but look at that, a lot of those entire games, two fixtures, Burnley at home and Sheffield United, and Burnley are very well capable of scoring.
Correct. But I can also think that those are good high upside. If they were ever to keep a clean sheet, home to Burnley, away to Sheffield United are probably ones where you can say at least one clean sheet.
Correct. But then you have the Chelsea games, City games. There is certain room to go different even within the wild card.
Absolutely. This I agree with. This I completely agree with. Mm. So, I mean, wrapping up the weekend, what did you think of, both Liverpool and Arsenal won. So that keeps it at least interesting for the title race. Because one of the things that will come in this wild card is at what point do City become last season City? You remember in the second game of the double game week, what they did, basically played the kids and the league was over. doesn't look like that happens.
Because there's
time.
No Champions League also, right? That makes a big difference because that was also something you have to preserve legs for that.
Correct. And the fact that both Liverpool and Arsenal, now this will be very important for what happens next. And I think before the pod, we were talking about what do we need to see? I need to see Liverpool and Arsenal win, right? I mean, you one of those teams, if they lose, that's it. That's then, you know, right now we're talking about title race being done. If you're 5 points behind or, you know, two behind with a game extra, that's about it.
Correct. And to timestamp this, we are podding on Monday, the 22nd of April. There are a lot of games still to be played, the entire midweek round of fixtures. So obviously, a lot of the picks we mentioned today are going to be contingent to what we see. Midweek, if Salah fires in a hat-trick versus Everton, I'm sure you're going to be a little bit more wary about selling him. So things will develop a little bit. But I think, Pras, you're traveling for the rest of the week, right? We wanted to get this pod in early for that reason.
Exactly. I mean, you guys, LR is also on a wildcard, so I'm sure there'll be a spicier version of my version by Thursday or Friday, whenever you guys pod. And I'll obviously update people as it goes along, but work travel, so couldn't, it's not an ideal week to travel, but it is what it is. That's why we thought, you know, we should do this today.
Let's get started, Pras. Scout plug, over to you. I'll do the nod.
Yep. So we're not going to have a lot of data today, but as we've always said, this podcast is sponsored by Fantasy Football Scout. And, you know, we're all pro pundits there. And for the last 1 month or the last leg of the season, if you become a member, that should help your decision making. And the affiliate link will be in the description below the video.
And as you know, the FPL Wire has partnered with NordVPN. Are you bored of the streaming libraries in your country? With NordVPN, you can access content outside your region, get access to a wider library on your favorite streaming services, and say you're traveling outside your country, you can access your home library content. What have you been watching recently, Pras?
There's this Netflix show called Baby Reindeer. It's very dark.
Interesting.
But,
I haven't heard of that.
It's it's fairly dark. Yeah, I mean, it's like a stalker, a woman who's stalking this comedian. But absolutely superb acting and really, really good show. So I'd recommend it, actually, if you're into that kind of a genre.
I think you might have some stalkers of your own, Pras, a woman stalking a YouTuber.
I knew when I said that this is going to go into a different direction. Coming back to NordVPN.
Yeah, it also has an efficient anti-malware and anti-spyware protection, Pras. You might need that. It highlights any attack and deletes it before it makes a mess of your computer. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/the FPL Wire to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 extra months for free. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Sign up using the link in the description below. Cool, Pras. Let's just jump into the draft right away, and then accordingly, I think the macro discussions will spring from there.
Or should I suggest that we do the macro? I mean, I just want to basically talk about
the first.
Sure. What I want to talk about is basically that there are 5 teams of focus right now. 5 teams that will double, and where basically a lot of the eggs are in the wildcarders' baskets. Now, even the non-wildcarders are pretty much set with a lot of these players. But those teams are basically, I would say, in order of priority, City. So a lot of people will have triple City. That could include a Foden, Haaland, and a defender or an Edison. It could include double defense if you're willing to go without Foden. So City is going to be important, and we'll talk about them. Now, interesting thing in this schedule from Lego Mane is City's schedule after this week is quite okay. Like, the only thing is this double that we're talking about, and that too is a Saturday and a Tuesday. They're used to playing that. So even a De Bruyne kind of player, like in the past you've seen heavy rotation, him missing out, punt is there. Like, you know, there is opportunity to say that I can go for somebody like that, and we'll come to that when we discuss my draft. Problem is midfielders, and midfielders are the biggest pain point in wildcard 35 draft. I think second most important team, I would say, is Newcastle, because, you know, Isak's been in great form. They have got pretty much not much to play for, but they still want Europe.
Well, they do very much. Then the European conversation, I think Chelsea and them only 3 points apart.
As in, Champions League is out, so it's basically Europa League. They need Europe. And in that, there's some nice, interesting options. So, you know, people will jump towards thinking Gordon and Isak are obvious. Maybe they are, but you'll see my draft. I don't have Gordon for reasons which I will talk about. Then you have defense, which has been very underwhelming. But you have Cher, you have Burn, you have Trippier if he's fit. So those are some of the options there. Then I would say Spurs, very important as a team. I think Son will be in every team, you know, going forward. Then you have who next? And then that opens up a lot, especially if Poro isn't fit for the weekend. So then you can go defense, double defense. Can you get another midfielder in there, like a Maddison, like a Richarlison if he's fit, or a Brennan Johnson? Spurs is a very interesting team to go different or even to avoid if you were to have that view that, you know, maybe I don't need to triple up. I would then say Chelsea as the fourth team, very important team. Again, with the double-double, just similar to Spurs. Chelsea, again, is, I would say, more clear because I think Palmer is one, so he solves everything. Then the second thing is a second attacker feels more important, but then Jackson has his issue where Jackson can get a second yellow card. And if he does, sorry, the 10th yellow card, and if he does, then he misses basically the entire double.
35.
The entire double of 35. So,
but he could still theoretically, like, you know, if you have a strong squad, you could bench him that week. But the tricky part there is Haaland, who we don't expect to be fit for next weekend. You can't bench Jackson and Haaland, right?
Correct. Well, I don't know about if he's fit for next weekend or not.
It's an assumption. I think as of now, if he's not going to be fit for Brighton, the other game is only 2 days away.
It'll be trickier. Yeah. And it's a Friday. Is it a Friday deadline?
No, I don't think it's a Friday. It's a Saturday deadline.
It's a Saturday. As in, we won't get any City leaks, right?
No. The game is on Sunday.
And
now we don't even know about the leaks. So I think the whole leaks thing with City is out the window anyway.
It's probably RIP. We didn't even find out about Haaland. I mean, it is what it is. We live in that world now. So coming back to my thought, so Chelsea will be easy if Jackson doesn't pick up a yellow card. So then I think Jackson and Palmer will be quite popular. And then the third one can be Petrovic, and you'll talk about him, how nailed he is for the rest of the season, or Gusto. And the latest news today from the camp is he's picked something up. We don't know if it's minor.
He always
minor,
has some
minor
knock or the other. He's not a very durable player at all.
Right. So that third Chelsea will be an important one. And then the last but not the least, the team that stumbled through against Coventry yesterday. These are the doubling teams. I mean, I think Bruno will be very popular. By no means, I am completely set on Bruno, and we'll talk about him. By no means am I set on any Man United player. Because look, the thing is, their great fixture is this week, which is home to Sheffield United. They have another good fixture next week, which is, what is it?
Burnley.
Home to Burnley.
Home to Burnley, and I don't think Burnley is as easy as it would have been, because I think Burnley are getting a bit of momentum out of all the teams that you say would possibly be giving it a relegation go. They're the ones who look like it.
People will have Man United defenders and bench them home to Burnley. So that's how bad it is. And that is, I don't think it's even a debate. I think it's just for Bruno, it's a good fixture. You know, a home to Burnley is a good fixture because
I'm digressing a little bit now, but I want to ask you about Bruno. What's changed? Because the last 3-4 games, I think he's got, a couple of penalties. There's that one goal he got from Liverpool, which was like, you know, a freak goal. Has his role changed in the team a little bit?
His role, maybe not as much, because especially if McTominay is playing, then he is quite withdrawn. But I think with Menu and Casemiro, now Casemiro moved to centre-back this week, he has a little bit more license. He trusts Menu a little bit more. And I think the other thing is, Hoyland has become very goal-shy, very shot-shy. So when the inverted forwards, or basically the Garnachos and the Rashfords, they get the ball, they're now not looking for Hoyland, or he's basically tied up with a couple of defenders, and it's Bruno who comes in with a late run. Then you add set pieces, penalties, and I think he's just accumulating, I think, something like 13 goals and assists in the last 15 matches. So Bruno is, I wouldn't say back to being the Bruno we remember from two seasons ago, but Bruno is a very, very good pick. And for me, you know, as good as any other pick, especially when you add set pieces and penalties. So... Fair. I think it's a no-brainer, but everything in midfield is a brainer except for Son and Palmer, and we'll talk about them. and that's about it. And then comes the question of what about Arsenal? What about Liverpool? Because if you look at the schedule, I think this is just again the things that are jumping as we're making the draft. Game week 35 looks okay. In fact, game week 35 will have a lot of benching issues because. Let's say you have a wildcard draft and you have 5 or 6 from Chelsea and Spurs. Man United have a home fixture to Burnley. Man City play Nottingham Forest. So I think the team is fine for game week 35. The problem comes in game week 36 when actually suddenly now the teams have difficult fixtures. Man United are away to Palace. Spurs are away to Liverpool. So you suddenly don't have a good defender to play in game week 36. So you can make this fantastic team of really nice players, but these 5 teams that I've talked about, they have not so great fixtures. Teams that have great fixtures, Aston, home to Bournemouth. So this is why a lot of teams we've seen have started to have just one Arsenal defender, because hell, who else are you going to play in game week 35? So that's actually the thinking. And that's why when I come to my draft, I have one Arsenal defender. And in game week 35, Newcastle is the only other team, which is away to Burnley, which has a really, really good, obviously Man City are home to Wolves. Those are the two good fixtures that stand out. But Chelsea home to West Ham, okay. But usually that fixture isn't great, right? I mean, yeah, Chelsea,
I think it depends
West Ham.
On Bowen. The big thing that was missing yesterday from West Ham's entire link up, the entire team without Bowen just doesn't function. There's no connectivity, I thought, between the midfield and the forward line at all. I mean, they completely, that was the worst West Ham performance I've seen. I think probably from any club, even in the first 20, 30 minutes, completely just threw in the towel.
Didn't see that coming. I mean, we saw two goals.
Four goals in the first 25, 30 minutes?
I mean, people who didn't have Palace was having an out-of-body experience.
I think most people, I think, had Eze at least. And even Munoz, man. I have so much Munoz regret also. He was twice, the two good chances he created.
Yeah,
and just at the tap-in also, his feet were just a few inches away from the
Emerson
far post.
Emerson stole the goal, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was that. I mean, to revisit that. But you're right. Oh, so for game week 36 context, maybe Chelsea-West Ham is a game that you can back. So my point was, game week 36 is a little, people need to think about it a little as far as their planning is concerned, that you need to have a good team. You have four game weeks left, so don't just worry about two game weeks. There's other two game weeks. And then let's come to the last game week, which is very important, which is the final game week. Now, there is obviously the unknown, which is which team actually has something to play for. Because realistically, if City win every game and if the other teams even stumble, there is a chance that kids are thrown out. You know, we've seen this, by the way, this exact fixture, Liverpool versus Wolves, where basically Klopp played an entire kids lineup, although they were still in Europe, I think. And so therefore,
I think you're talking about the Europa League time when they were the final with Dortmund.
Maybe the Europa League. So there is issues for rotation. So basically, first thing, whatever happens, I will try to roll my free transfer in game week 37 and try to have two free transfers in game week 38. That's the plan. And then if I'm looking at game week 38, basically, Spurs play Sheffield United. Beautiful fixture. I don't mind having that Spurs triple up away to Sheffield United. Chelsea home to Bournemouth. Nice. So I don't know if it's a double up, triple up, whatever. Very nice. Happy to have that. Man City home to West Ham. Also very good. After that is the issue. Man United away to Brighton. Nothing. I don't even want to play Bruno. So I'm looking at moving Bruno to someone like a Saka, or if I have money, even a Salah. Because Arsenal are home to Everton and Liverpool are home to Wolves. So, and Newcastle was the other team that I wanted to talk about. Newcastle are away to Brentford. Okay. So like you can have an ESAC, but you can also lose a second attacker. So macro, I wanted to just talk about this stuff on what are the things on my mind as a wildcarder in terms of which weeks. And 35 and 37, I don't need to talk about because we're filling the team with doublers. So of course your team should be okay for those weeks.
Correct. I'm forewarning you now, Pras, owning Nico Jackson is going to be painful.
We like pain. I mean, what can I say? I've owned Darwin now for 5 weeks. I'm used to it. I mean, what can
Jackson
I say?
Jackson takes Darwin, I feel, just to another level altogether. I mean, that one particular chance against City when he was one-on-one with the keeper and he didn't even attempt a shot, I had literally fallen on the floor on my knees. I'd completely I'd become like just questioning the meaning of life and my entire sanity altogether in that one move. It was unbelievable. Now that's a League Two footballer, not Haaland.
I mean, that's a little harsh, but okay, I understand. He's been raw. And look, when you signed him, it wasn't meant to be that he plays 90 minutes times every game, right? It was supposed to be Nkunku and maybe Palmer plays behind. Some games Jackson plays behind. Some games he plays up top. It was never... Jackson up top and Nkunku behind. It was never meant to be him playing every single game. So, little sympathy, but let's start with Chelsea. Let's talk about these five teams. If you were on wildcard, who are your three picks from Chelsea?
Now, the thing is, let's just go to your draft, Prasen. I'll explain some context over here.
Sure.
So, before reading it out right now, I'll just mention who Prasen's got in his forward line. He's got Jackson, Haaland, and Isak. Now, Haaland, we expect it to be the latest we've heard is, I think, shouldn't be out for the season yet. Should be at least back at least for around 36, 37, 30 the last few weeks. So, Haaland and Isak are quite easy picks. Now, who are the alternatives for the third striker slot? Because this is something similar I was looking at around 33. Before making my transfers prior to the free, I ended up keeping Solanke because I didn't want to go for Hoyland, primarily for the reasons you just mentioned. I didn't want to go for Brighton because they're just not clocking the XG numbers anymore. So João Pedro, someone I decided against. Who else is there? In my point, if you look at in terms of double, you have to possibly only look at Timo. That's
yeah,
it.
but even him, like I'm fully expecting Richarlison to be fit.
Exactly.
And if
Richarlison
is fit,
Timo, not really an
Timo
option.
Partey is finished.
And even if he's not fit, he can do something like Brennan left. Brennan is obviously the better pick amongst the two. He's more of the goal scorer. So I think it's primarily due to lack of options. You have to go for somebody like a Jackson, because let's say you want to retain, playing devil's advocate, somebody like a Solanke. Solanke's fixtures are what? Brighton in 35, that's decent. Then it's Arsenal away in 36. Then 37 is Brentford. 38 is Chelsea. Not bad, but not great. And if you look at the single game week pool, Liverpool don't have any forwards you can go for. Arsenal don't have any forwards you can go for. So just by the process of elimination, it comes down to go picking Nico.
I agree. And if he does pick up that 10th yellow card on Wednesday or Tuesday, which is tomorrow, people are screwed. Like, it will change.
Just pick him and bench him. Just pick him and bench him.
You want a doubler. I mean, what's the point of then picking him? Because you want
because
37 the double,
double. 37 double. 36 decent, 38 decent.
37, they'll be... I don't know. I think there might be other options, other routes that you could take. I don't think you take a doubler who's suspended and bench him in the
so
double.
Hypothetically, let's say he does get suspended. What do you do?
I'll get Hoyland.
Hoyland? Okay, that's interesting.
I think that would be the move. And then maybe... Yeah, I think that would make sense. And then I would get Petrovic instead of Edison, and I would get, instead of Gabriel, get...
But why
Ruben
not pick
Diaz.
Hoyland regardless? Do you think Jackson is a better pick by just purely looking at the... Because I look at Villa away as a tough game. You get Tottenham, that's a good one. I don't expect us to get much joy at Villa.
But it's about saying that if you wanted three, who are the best three players to pick? And I think you want attackers. And you see this in my draft. I also want the attackers from Spurs, because this 35 double, I think the whole upside is in three or four goals.
Because ultimately, neither teams look like keeping clean sheet. We play Villa, Tottenham, both games likely to concede. They play us and Aston.
Exactly. So for me, there is no point picking double defense. This is why I've tried to avoid it. And I don't know if eventually I will do this or not. But same for Spurs. I don't want to have two Spurs defenders. For what? Spurs defenders still make some sense because of the reason you mentioned, which is basically in Game Week 37, Burnley at home, Game Week 38, Sheffield United away. I think the Poro or Vicario still
works. We've lost now, Odoghi. So that's one upside guy gone. So pretty much now you have Poro, who may or may not be available. The latest tweet from Paul O'Keefe was he's being assessed and the club are hopeful. He makes Arsenal. So there's no definitive thing over there that he is going to be.
Which is why I don't have him. Which is why I have gone with the structure. Look, let me read out my team first for people. So I've got Edison and Vicario in goal. I've got Trippier, Gusto, Dalo, Cher, and Gabriel. So the one single game weaker is Gabriel. Then I've got Son, Palmer, Bruno Fernandes, Foden, and Johnson. And up front, every single person will have this until if... Jackson gets a yellow, will be Jackson, Haaland, and Isak. So, problem is, I really want a second Spurs midfielder. If I have to get a second Spurs midfielder, one of Bruno, Foden, or Gordon have to be sacrificed. Because you're not losing Son and Palmer. So, if you want a second midfielder, this is basically the whole dilemma of Wildcard 35, or for anybody else who's basically looking to build their team. You want that Spurs upside for this double, and you don't want double Spurs defense, but you may have to do it. So if Richarlison is fit, this is why I wanted to show this draft here, there is no chance that I will not have a double Spurs attack. But if Richarlison is 50-50, everybody is coy about him, he plays one game and not the other game, people will have no choice. And if Poro is fit, no choice but to go for this more vanilla setup, in which instead of Johnson, you'll have Gordon. Instead of Trippier or Cher, you'll have Poro.
And probably
so that'll be the more vanilla one.
Get a Newcastle. I don't think Pope is going to play by now, I think, because I think Dubravka has done all right. I think that's again guesswork. We'll see what news we get. I think Dubravka is an option. But I think I think the forwards is a pretty much of an easy thing. Like you said, the two guys pick themselves and Jackson Hoyland comes down to the yellow card. I do agree with the point that I think let's spend more time in midfield.
Yeah, midfield is the main one. So Son and Palmer, nothing to discuss.
Even Foden, I would say even Foden plus you, I would go as far as saying that, because now with no other competitions, why not pick Phil Foden?
Okay, here's the problem. Is in this setup right now that I have, Foden is on the bench away to Nottingham Forest. If Haaland is fit, right? Because I have to play my double Spurs. I have to play my double Chelsea. I have to play Bruno at home to Burnley. I have to play Isak away. Who's Isak playing? Sheffield United?
Isak is Sheffield United at home.
Exactly. So this fixture in 35, you're going to have to bench Foden anyway. So therefore, you're basically having Foden for home to, which is great, home to Wolves in game week 35, 36, and then the double.
And then
I get it. But,
which is fair enough. It's all right.
But you could also start with not Foden. Start with, let's say, a Madison or a Richarlison. Move them to a Foden a week later. Like this. Transfers
I don't like
there.
Booking transfers, plus with this thing so close now, everything, because you need transfers. Like you said, you want to roll a transfer in 37, right, to get a Saka or Salah for 38. It seems very risky to me. Because if you're booking for 36, you're pretty much, let's say, 35 is your wild card, right? So 36, you're going to end up, you have one transfer, which you can't use. Because you have to roll it for 37 if you want two transfers, right? That means the 30, you basically can make one transfer.
Yeah, but I would plan to, I mean, obviously you can't count on injuries, but there's no other transfer. So you make one, then you roll the next week, and then you have eight.
I know,
for
but
30,
I think the injuries do happen. Injuries, something or the other does go wrong. So at the outset, I don't
especially
like the idea of booking
post.
Transfers. Yeah, because it's different in 30. Because 30, you have an 8-week horizon. Now you're looking at a much shorter horizon with transfers, and you ideally want two transfers for 38 always.
Correct. And because it's a bench boost, even if your 15th player gets injured, you have to deal with it.
Yeah. Exactly, right? You can't just shove him aside. That's why I don't like, as an outset, I would strongly suggest that nobody book transfers. Obviously, it depends on how you play.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. It's not, I'm just saying, so Foden then is locked.
Yes.
Then Bruno, we've said, is locked. Problem is, this team is increasingly getting into your lock.
I don't think Bruno should be a lock. And that's where I want to have a little bit of a discussion with you. For example, you've got, I don't see the reason not to have KDB in there.
For who?
I mean,
for
you can
Bruno.
Find money somehow, right? For Bruno, like, let's say Johnson can go down to, let's say, a Garnacho. For example, you've got so much money in your keepers. You've got so much money in Trippier.
If Johnson's not there, then Gordon needs to be there.
Gordon needs to, okay, fine. So that's approximately the same price, right? Let's cancel that out. But you can find money to get another 2 million in, right? You can downgrade Edison.
Trippier
and Edison down, even Vicario is like what? I think most people can find other players who can match Vicario. It's nothing that great, right? So I think that Bruno spot, I think it's just KDB clear for me now.
But is KDB better than Bruno?
I think so.
FPL-wise. I don't want to offend the football effect.
The thing is, I'm just still not convinced on Manchester United, like, you know, as picks in terms of attack is different for a Garnacho, because right now we are hearing that Rashford is potentially out for a while. Garnacho is playing on the left. He's what, like 5 million. It's just okay, fine. But Bruno, I don't know what's happened in the last few weeks that he's been getting these goals. I think there's a bit of recency there in terms of the penalties and goals against
Liverpool.
It's been
like 13, 15 weeks now, man. I mean, Bruno is clearly better than Garnacho. I mean, there's no competition.
Yeah, that's
there.
No comparison, obviously. And there's a different but question now we're talking about is Bruno versus KDB.
I'm still on the fence if KDB is better than Bruno. With the fixtures and the nailedness, the 90 minutes, the penalties, Bruno's great. But KDB is great, but I just don't have a slot for him. And then you're also giving up a City defensive slot, which is not bad, right? I mean, sometimes a defensive slot is fine.
I'll talk to you about that also once we get to the defense, because I'm looking for a City defender as a free transfer potentially if Porto is out. And even that is a minefield now, because last week we were all, I think, now looking at Guardiola, right? In terms of looking at the upside defender, now I think all of us are going to gravitate there towards the Croatian, but he didn't start the last weekend. You had Ake there who played perfectly fine.
Guardiola is a risk. Even Edison is a risk, man. So this is a problem.
Yeah.
But I'm not taking minutes risk with a midfield slot. That's my problem. Like, I would love to have De Bruyne.
Is De Bruyne a minutes risk? So someone, we've guys seen in the chat, now. Please let us. I know, but that is different when Europe was in the picture, right? Now they have a singular focus on the league, and guys in the chat, do let us know what you think about the whole Bruno versus KDB thing. We'll have to get an opinion. And while we're out there, Pras, let's just give us a like and subscribe plug, please.
Yes, please. Guys, we've got like 5 pods left till the end of the season, and we're trying to hit 30,000 subs. We're like 500 away. So not too far off.
Pretty close. Last pod, we actually got 60 subs, which was the most we've gained. So we hope to continue to receive more support from you guys.
It would be really cool if we can get there before the end of the season. And obviously, we're really thankful. So all you need to do is like. If you like the video, more people see it, more people then subscribe. And obviously, if you haven't subscribed yourself, if you subscribe, even better. So thanks for your support.
Enough. The chat seems pretty split out, Bruno and De Bruyne. We have Ekpeke, who says that De Bruyne is not a meniscus. We have Sol Khan, who says don't make trouble. Bruno's 90 minutes pens and good stats. So I guess that is debatable. But for me, it's clear KDB. It's a no contest. That's just me backing City now to just go full on.
See, look at De Bruyne, right? Okay, I've opened his stats. Look at XG. Okay, I know De Bruyne can have 5 assists in a game, but let's be realistic. Like, midfielders need goals. His XG, Luton 0.2, Crystal Palace 0.09, Aston Villa he didn't play, Arsenal he played 90 minutes, 0 XG, Liverpool he played 68 minutes, 0.1 XG, Man United he played 90 minutes, 0.3 XG. It's just not an upside pick. It's just not an upside pick. I mean, I love De Bruyne as much as a Man United fan can love him. But from an FPL point of view, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. Like, if I open Foden's numbers, over 0.5 every game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So even if they were same price, I'm picking Foden.
Hmm. Cool. And like you said, there's a 2 million plus difference over there. So what you're doing that. So fair enough, we'll come back to that. And I guess... let's talk about the Johnson slot, Johnson versus Gordon, because I think what you've gone for here is more quantity over quality, right?
Upside in 35. Upside in 35. Basically, I'm going for more points, more hoping to
Could
get lucky.
Gordon not outscore home at Sheffield United? And we've seen now Sheffield United just conceded 5 to Burnley. And there was a comment from Chris Wilder also about the keeper that, like, you know, that he's finding it a little bit difficult. He's not able to save the shots he's expected to. Gordon, last home game, he got 17 points.
No, I hear you. Gordon is a difficult one. Look, as I said, look, the simple one is Johnson becomes Gordon, Cher becomes Poro, if you have money, or Trippier becomes Poro. That is the simple one, but it just doesn't sit right going double Spurs defense. I mean...
no, double. I think you can even go without a Spurs defender. It's reasonable. It's very reasonable.
Who,
I think I would pick
then?
That's the problem. That's the next
there
question.
There is no defender.
Who do you pick for? And I think, again, I think you have to back the guys from the existing pool of single game week teams. You've got Gabriel in there.
Yeah. Who's fine. I don't want Gabriel and Saliba. I don't think that it's that bad.
The picture is because you have Tottenham in there. Even Manchester United away, you expect Arsenal to win. But something like a 2-1, 3-1, you guys usually score against Arsenal at home.
Correct. So this is why I thought, look, no Gordon, and Focal's in the chat, and he's basically, Gordon has not blanked, he's blanked once at home, and it's game week 34, home to Sheffield United. It does seem stupid, actually, not doing it, but this is why I said, maybe there is an opportunity to get, let's say Haaland is out, then instead of Foden, you start with a Gordon. I know I'm booking a transfer, but then later, afterwards, you get your Johnson or a Madison. That becomes a Foden the week after. And then your backline is fine. And then Gabriel becomes Poro, who's fit by game week 37. Now you have 15 doublers. And you have your setup of basically getting the right midfielder at the right time. And I've thought about that as well. But then you are booking transfers and you are taking that risk that somebody gets injured. But you see that plan, right? I mean, if you have a double Spurs mid and you don't go for a Foden. This was the only thing where I was saying maybe going without a Foden. But then he could score a hat-trick away to Nottingham Forest. I've already missed the last two hat-tricks.
Correct. I think Haaland being out would make things a lot easier for us in 35 in general. Most teams, even for my team, is something similar. I'm currently benching Garnacho, so it's not as bad. But Garnacho is, again, decent potential at home to Burnley.
He's good. Yeah. Home to Burnley, good potential. So I don't think anybody will mind if Haaland is out. But if he's out longer, then it does become a problem. So I think there's a few things, right? Haaland's injury... Richarlison's injury, for me particularly, I'm really looking to him. Trippier's injury, Poro's injury, Jackson's suspension. I think these 5 things are so big in the rest of the week. And I would even add a 6th, both Spurs and Arsenal winning their games to basically keep the motivation going and for
not
City
Spurs,
to basically...
You mean Liverpool and us.
Sorry, Liverpool and yeah. Dream right. On Spurs fans.
But I can see, like you said, the other two midfield spots are up for grabs. Son, Palmer and Foden would be where I would lock. The other two spots, depending on your budget, you vary it up a little bit. Again, I wouldn't put anyone going off the likes of a Diogo Jota. Just like, you know, to go as a differential against... because again, double game week fixation is a thing at this point. We have to look a little bit outside it. There are picks at Liverpool, potentially. Especially, I think, like... but not so much Arsenal, I think. Because Arsenal, like, you can possibly go against your Saka, Havertz, etc. Because they're more of the control guys. You don't see them the ceiling. But then Jota, as we have seen, at centre forward, any game has 20 plus potential.
I think so, yes. But I also think that you're losing a double game weeker in your midfield slot for somebody who could be a minute's risk in game week 38 because you don't know where the league is going. So that's the other side of it, right? Where all Liverpool picks I see as risks because I don't know where the league is in game week 38. I want them maybe for 35 and 36 if their fixtures were better. But their fixtures are okay. They're okay to back against, I feel. Salah is never okay to back against, but you got to do it, man. I mean, free hitters this week backed against Haaland, right? It can work or maybe backfire, but you have to try.
God. So who else is on your radar for now, these other two starts besides Johnson and Bruno?
Or Gordon. Even Garnacho is not completely ruled out. I don't think Garnacho is ruled out.
You need to save some money because obviously your team value is decent. People need to save money. I don't mind. Again, Garnacho home to Burnley with Johnson. Those two fixtures could easily outscore.
You can have the same argument where you say, let's say Haaland is fit. You still have to bench somebody, right? So this week you can still say, okay, I'm going to have Garnacho as my bench boost guy. And I will basically go without a Dalot here. And so basically what you're doing is you do Garnacho instead of Johnson and Porro instead of Dalot. And so you get basically, you screw basically no Man United defense, which actually seems very logical. And you bench Gordon this, you bench Garnacho this week. And that also seems quite okay. And you have a good bench option.
I would personally, as an outsider, look to limit my investment in Manchester United as much as possible. Just play them in 37 and then forget about it.
That's the plan. With Bruno, I think you play him this week, you bench him next week, and you sell him in game week 30. Yeah. And you sell him in game week 30. That's my plan.
With Johnson, then I guess you sort of have to commit to a transfer then because then Johnson is Liverpool next week.
This Johnson is actually Richarlison. Want to put Richarlison here.
Yeah, because of the injury. But even then, like, you don't want double attack away to, like, Liverpool, right?
Oh, I wouldn't play Richarlison then. Yeah, so then I would maybe have to play Bruno. That's a good point. I would have to think about it.
Again, I think you guys could score a goal as such over there. It's not that bad defensively.
I mean, Bruno is fine. Bruno is playable. Palace is not like...
But then you could have KDB plus at home to Wolves.
You could have KDB home to Wolves. No, it's tempting. Look, midfield slot
is the
one
which has
most pressure.
With an entire week off home to Wolves, you expect KDB to start.
You would. And that's the week where that's the Friday deadline. So you won't know for sure who is starting, but maybe that's the world.
I think that's
the
base case now. We just have to assume that we're not getting the City leaks anymore.
That also dilutes a little bit the KDB appeal for me. Like, if you know, then you can be a little bit
more sure. I don't
know.
I just think that if there's a weak gap, there's nothing to stress about. KDB starts.
But now Pep has become... Okay, now Europe is gone, but he's benched every bloody person. Who's not been benched in the last 3 or 4
Everyone
weeks?
Everyone has, like, but again, same thing at Liverpool as well. We saw yesterday the lineups with Liverpool. We saw Salah benched, Darwin benched, McAllister benched, who has been one of their best players as well. And there were some rumors that even Van Dijk might have been benched as well.
So I was hearing, look, I mean, I think so. Midfield is where it's at. So the main problem with wildcard 35 is you want 7 midfielders and you want 3 defenders. So you still have to pick those other 2 defenders and not pick 2 midfielders, and that's a bloody pain. And we will see where we land, basically. Yeah.
Let's move to defense. Tell me who are your locks here, Pras. And I think Trippier is obviously contingent to injury.
And
I guess Gusto also, to an extent. Because let's say if Gusto is ruled out of 35, would you still expect it to be back for 36? Would you still carry him? I think you could.
No. Nah. I'm not. If there's any Chelsea or Spurs doubt.
You can play Trippier, Dalot, Cher.
Yeah, but I want a double game weaker. So I will want then a Spurs defender and I'll play Petrovic. I mean, if you tell me that Petrovic should be okay for the rest of the season.
Let's just touch upon Petrovic since you mentioned it. I think now with that, we have no chance of, you know, an FA Cup final. Before, let's say supposedly he wanted to give Sanchez a game in the FA Cup, he might have tossed him one game to get, like, his gloves warm before, but now I don't think so. I think Petrovic is pretty safe, barring any injuries or any sending offs for the remainder of the season.
Okay, so I think Petrovic instead of Gusto is very possible. So
and
I
saves
think
you a bunch of money as well.
But money is not a problem. Like, here,
if you want KDB, press. And again, I'm going to keep driving this. If you want KDB, that's you're going to be searching for whatever you can share.
I'm just
that.
Not seeing the KDB appeal. I mean, I didn't get him even for those doubles for City.
I am
earlier.
A fanboy, so
rightly or wrongly. I know you sold him, got him back. I remember all the gymnastics you did to have KDB like 2-3 times. I get it. Look, it's fine. But maybe it's just a change of what I see in the games where Foden is now so central that I'm not seeing the same. Like in certain games where Foden isn't playing, like that Luton game, the cup game, then it's basically the KDB Haaland show. But I think there are other elements of the way they're playing. Like Doku becomes so important from the left where like KDB has nothing to do in that move, that attacking move in which basically Doku is driving into the box and crossing it to either a Haaland or a Foden. KDB is nowhere there. So there are certain ways where I'm thinking, okay, he's fine, but there might be other picks. But could be wrong. But and I do think KDB is that upside pick.
Yep.
If he wasn't a midfielder, it would be different though. Like if it was Alvarez who was getting good minutes, I would say instead of Jackson, Alvarez, interesting pick.
Yeah, but let's say if we heard Haaland is out for 2 weeks, for example, you could even consider something a short term with Alvarez. But the chat is asking, Prasen, it's a valid question, why not Watkins? Again, Watkins, if you ask me over the next 4 weeks, could outscore Jackson?
Double, man, double. I mean, of course, why not? Like, it's like saying people
and he's
who
what, under 10% EO now.
People who picked Ulisse, why didn't they pick Bailey, right? Or you know what I mean? Like, double game week, you can also
give
get
you a chance to get lucky. That's
yeah,
how, that's
exactly.
How Ulisse.
So if you have a double-double, I'm not interested. Like, if Jackson is fit, he's in. Like, there's no other striker because I know he will play 5 games in 3 game weeks. No other striker plays even 4.
I do want
like,
to mention Nkunku, though. I don't know. What I've been hearing, he's been in a training in and out. I think if we can give him some minutes, we would like to. He would probably be the only threat to Jackson. But as of now, I've not heard anything concrete on that.
Yeah, I mean, something again to monitor. But I feel like similarly with Isak, right? This guy, Wilson is back.
Wilson is there. But again, I think Wilson's just going to be off the bench because Isak is on fire and now they don't have any rotation to worry about.
10, 20 minutes. Exactly. I mean, Focal is also asking about Jackson versus Hoyland. I think Focal, Oscar, we talked about this earlier. I just don't see. Hoyland has become very shot shy for whatever reason.
He's,
I don't. Maybe it's
from
tactical.
I monitored him very closely over the last few matches because he was on my radar. He is occupying the defenders.
Yeah.
But the team is just not designed to provide service to him. Everything and your wingers are selfish. Your wingers, they
this
look to shoot
I mean.
At every opportunity.
He's too nice. In fact, that you know, it could be something as simple as he doesn't yell at the guys to and ask for the ball. So he's there. The defenders are occupied. But yeah, either these forwards are shooting or they're finding a McTominay running into the box or a Bruno running into the box. He's just not doing it. But he could. So it's an interesting option. And if Jackson is out, if he does get the yellow tomorrow, maybe people will go there. So it's not a completely no-go.
Any team with Anthony in it just becomes instantly worse. Now, if Rashford is out for a long period, then the whole Anthony antics yesterday, the whole with the Year Cup and everything, absolutely infuriated me.
Embarrassing performance, man. I don't think, like, I didn't even tweet after we won. I mean, there's nothing to celebrate here. 3-0 up against Coventry and you lose it. And then you're almost out from a final goal, which is by a toenail, it's ruled out by VAR. There's nothing to celebrate.
Yeah. Back to the defense, but sorry, I don't think we completed this. Who are your locks?
A Newcastle defender, one, is a lock. So if that is Trippier, who's fit, then that could be the one. And I'm not saying both because it could be Gordon who comes in midfield. So one Newcastle defender is a lock. One Chelsea defender is a lock if that is either Petrovic or Gusto. When I say defender, somebody in that seven. Mm. One City defender slash goalkeeper is a lock because I don't want to go triple attack. It feels like every draft I've done, I run out of defenders to pick and I end up saying, okay, let me keep Gabriel.
This
so
was
it looks
a
like
problem
Gabriel.
I had to buy like Van Heck and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, so I'm not doing that. So basically, I think Gabriel is pretty much locked. Although, I can if there's like completely like in Game Week 37, I have no transfers, no issues, 2 free transfers going into 37. You can look to do a Gabriel to somebody who doubles maybe at that time. So it could be a Van Heck, it could be a Maguire, it could be something like that where there is an opportunity. So I'm not saying Gabriel will stay there for 37, but at the moment, I think going into it, he should be there. I think a Spurs defender is at a minimum lock. It could be two, which is depressing, but maybe that's the case. So it could be Vicario, it could be
Poro. I think
only
if it's a money thing, maybe you go for your VDV or something like that.
No. It'll be Poro and Vicario. No, nobody else.
Okay. A goalkeeper.
So if it's two, it's Poro and Vicario. Yeah. Vicario gets good save points.
Yeah, exactly.
And so,
we can still get 5 to 6 points in the double, which is fair enough.
Exactly.
But going
exactly.
For
There's
like
no standout keeper.
Because with Udogi out of the picture, you just don't have the second upside guy.
Correct. I mean, in the chat, Frigus mentions Trent instead of Gabriel. I did think about that. So if there's a scenario in which Trippier is not fit, and I do go down to the Gordon version of this draft, then I think I will have money to take Gabriel up to a Trent. And if that happens, that should be interesting.
It's a great differential, man, because I think he's obviously going to play the remainder of the games. I'd like that. Because I think I think Burn is also a good pick. Cher scored the last game, but Burn was a target for large part of the set pieces. It's 1.1 million difference.
Yeah.
Perfectly fine.
Yep, agreed. I mean, I just think, you know, we value Trent's upside, but we undervalue Arsenal's clean sheet potential. Like, I just think, look, this week, Saliba scored 8. Trent scored, what, 7?
9.
Also, oh, no, 9. Plus. 9, okay. So, but what I mean is, it's not that different. I know it's a sexy pick to pick Trent over Saliba, but Saliba's also a good pick, or Gabriel's also a good pick.
Saliba's an underrated pick, absolutely, just because of the bonus that he racks up.
So, I just think with Arsenal's good fixtures, home to Bournemouth in 36... and then the excellent fixture in game week 38, home to Everton.
In 37, I just think, again, you guys are terrible at defending set pieces. Could you dong a goal?
We still are good for like 10 plus shots a game. So I just think I don't expect a clean sheet there.
I'm going to be bench boosting Gabriel. I'm pretty likely of that, just primarily because of the lack of other options. Who will I sell him for?
Of course. Never a bad shout. And I think if I have other problems, I'll be happy to do that as well. But I just think, you know, Man United are terrible defensively. They're not great with building up play and stuff.
I like the Dalot pick in that extent. I think he is your most upside guy. I think he got an assist yesterday.
He did as well. Yeah, he did overlap and got the assist. Although Maguire is perfectly fine as well. He got the goal. And Maguire is basically the only fit centre back at the moment.
No, but even him, like, you know, in him, he was, I think, holding some part of his body, some injury. But he's, again, very injury prone. I think if you have the money, I like the upside over there. For example, I think a Dalot versus a Maguire is more upside than a Cher over a Burn.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, maybe.
From what I've seen of Newcastle.
I mean, Cher, you know, he's also likes to shoot from outside the box. You know, those worldies.
Yeah,
so,
he does get those.
I mean, if I can, I'll try to go Cher over Burn, but there's not much in it. You're right.
But yeah, I think that's pretty much where I think the double Newcastle thing is where I really didn't like it so much. I would much rather have the Gordon there. Gusto is fine. Dalot is fine. I would definitely have one Arsenal defender in there. I think as a general pattern, one Chelsea defender, one Man United defender, one Spurs defender, Arsenal, Newcastle. It works. The other two spots are really where it's a little bit tricky. Now, let's talk about the City defenders apart from Edison. Is it still Guardiola for you?
Ruben Dias is fine. I think Dias has missed like one game out of the blue. Like he plays 6, misses 1. Plays 6, misses 1. So nobody is completely fit.
I still think Dias Stones is like clear front, like, you know, first choice centre back pairing.
Yeah, but with Stones, I don't know what's going on. Akanji Stones just shows up in certain games.
And plus Stones is again made of glass.
Exactly. So I just feel it's either Guardiola or Dias or Edison. These are your three. Or maybe Walker.
An interesting one, right? Now, no games now, no rotation expected. The guy who played, I think, what, 18, 20 games in a row does have some upside as well.
I thought about Walker, actually. Walker could be interesting as well.
Because Guardiola feels very much a little bit flavor of the month, doesn't he? That's just because a bit of recency bias. He scored the goal against Madrid and he scored the one recently as well.
I guess it's the pattern, right? I mean, it's a big money Pep signing. He's given him the first half of the season to bed in. And now, basically, he's becoming more and more. Although his goals are worldies, right? I mean, so people shouldn't think he's the new Cancelo. Not even close. But yeah, I think with Ake coming back, it's not a sure shot thing. Especially with City in a double game week. This is why I'm like, man, just go for Edison. Because I feel now, you know, this issue of Ortega. Ortega will get the FA Cup final. Because Ortega always plays the cup game. So now the biggest risk is Ortega maybe getting game week 38 if they've won the league. And so, if Ortega gets game week 38, no problem. Vicario plays away to Sheffield United.
Pick, yeah.
Game week 38.
The tricky part of it happens earlier.
This is the problem. So, will it happen for this, going back to this? I need Arsenal and Liverpool to win this week so that City still have something to play for going into game week 37. Hopefully.
Makes sense.
That's the summary of game week 35.
If you want to save some money in the goalkeeper, it feels inherently wrong to be investing so much. in your goalkeepers. Yeah, I think just for people who have a lower team value, I think that's possibly where you could shave some money.
I mean, there's lots of trades here. You could do Onana and Dalot to... Sorry, Onana instead of Edison and Dalot to Diaz or Guardiola. That saves you a million. You could go Dalot to a Maguire. That saves you a million. Trippier, if he's not fit, you go down to Burn. That saves you 2 million. So there's money to burn here on where you want to take it out.
Salah, nowhere in your thoughts at all?
I sold him already. I had money 0.4 tied up.
I was going to ask, have you already sold him in your wildcard team?
No chance I'll have Salah. I mean, I'm confident of not going with him. Am I confident of him not hurting me? Obviously not. He can do well. But zero chance. I mean, I've talked about so many other picks that I want in midfield. Oh, I want all of them above Salah. So
it's the money, obviously, right? You're spreading so much of that money around.
Exactly. So is there a world in which I'm trying to figure out, can I get to a Salah? Because I think Salah is the best captain in Game Week 38. Like, if I think about which are the best captains.
I like him in 36 as well. Tottenham at home. You could argue you go to Haaland for Wolves at home, but I think
Haaland
Tottenham
Wolves
at home
better.
Tottenham at home, again, they're just so open. And
yeah,
I've captained Salah for a bunch of times, I think, against Tottenham. It's always worked out.
Probably. I mean, between him and Saka, that's the week where they could hurt. You know, like this week, if in Game Week 35, somebody's playing Salah, I'm saying, okay, I'm playing Bruno. It's okay. He's not Salah, but it's okay. Feels okay with the fixture. But next week, I do agree with you that there is a potential to get hurt by Salah, of course. Then Game Week 37, again, I think it feels fine to go without him. But 38, if people can get to him, this is where free hit 38 could be great, because the best captain probably is Salah, and then Saka is great as well. So there is potential to go different.
Cool. Let's wrap up then, Pras. Anything else you'd like to touch upon?
No, I think just to summarize.
We lost you there for a second.
Injury, Haaland's injury.
We lost you there for a second.
Sorry.
Repeat, please.
I was just repeating. Basically, the 5-6 things this week until the deadline that are critical for me: Haaland's injury update, Trippier, Richarlison, Jackson getting a yellow card or not, Poro's injury update, and hoping that Arsenal and Liverpool win so that they keep the race alive. So those will be the critical points. I'm trying to find a reason to drop a midfielder and a reason to add some defenders. That's the theme of the wildcard.
I hope for your sake, Pras, that Jackson does get booked, or your hairline is going to be similar to mine by Game Week 38.
I'm ready for pain, man. It's okay. This has been an interesting season, defined by particular marquee weeks like this week. And by the way, my week has been going fine as well. Like,
yeah,
I had Mateta.
You did two free transfers. You think you got Mateta in and Eze. No, Eze
and
you
Diaz,
already had.
Diaz.
And
yeah,
Diaz.
Eze I already had. Diaz I got, which didn't work out. But I had no Liverpool defense. So actually that Fulham goal was quite welcome. But I had 11 doublers. And in a way, that Haaland injury or that Haaland doubt, that Pep being so negative about him.
I'm surprised
him
more people actually didn't do that move. I guess they were benching him this week, because especially if you're wildcarding next week, it did make sense to possibly punt on someone else.
You know, nobody wanted to play Zabarni. And I got lucky that Chris Richards was fit, or at least, you know,
in
they
the
said
squad,
that
yeah,
he's been training. So I was like, man, why should I like get another defender? Because that defender would have been Munoz. And I was like, I'm like basically using my second transfer to upgrade Richards to Munoz. Didn't make sense to me. So I was like, let's do Mateta instead of Haaland. So so far it's worked out. If Haaland is fit and scores a brace, then we are all punished.
Absolutely. It doesn't look like that at the moment. I do hope Palmer plays tomorrow. And thank you for joining us, guys. Once again, a reminder to hit the like and subscribe button. We will be back with the main pod on Thursday, with Elad will be discussing his wildcard picks. And I hope by that time we'll have a lot more clarity on all the things that Pras has mentioned. Maybe not on Poro, but in general, we should be in a better picture too. I think lockdown picks. And we will get in touch with Pras, ask him what his thoughts are, get his wildcard updated draft at that point of time. So do join us then. Hit the notification bell. And we'll see you again at the end of the week on Thursday.
See you guys. Like the stream, please, if you can, and subscribe. Take care. Have a good
Thank
week.
You. Sports Social Podcast Network.